Welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays by the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on supply trends, category updates, brand awareness, and what's hot in the market. Join us each week from San Francisco Bay, California, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Dan, the Produce Man.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays on this lovely, lovely last Friday of July. Yes, August is upon us, and we've got another month of summer left. Of course, technically, summer goes into September, but summer was always, you know, June, July, August growing up. They've changed it. They put the kids in school in August now instead of September, when it's boiling hot and they can barely concentrate and all they can think about is going swimming and eating good summer fruit. Well, I guess you can do that in school. Hey, folks, welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays. Dan the Produce Man here. Fresh from the Field Fridays is brought to you by the Produce Industry Podcast and sponsored by Buck Naked Onions, Equifruit, the only banana you should buy, Fresh Cravings, fresh salsas in your produce department. Hey, there's nothing like getting it fresh, as you know. And of course, the London Fruit Company, bringing us fantastic mangoes, supplying us with those, just that tropical goodness all through the year. And summertime, you can add those mangoes to your summer fruit salads, and it just gives it a little bit of a tropical twist. I was at the Organic Produce Summit in lovely Monterey, California, and I want to thank Matt Seeley and crew. You always put on a fantastic class act, number one class act show. This year, it was busier than I'd ever seen it before, and we learned a lot of good things about regenerative farming and where the fresh produce industry is going without water, and all kinds of great things. So that was good, and we'll get into some of those things down the road here on the show. And then this week was the International Fresh Produce Association's food service show. I did not attend because I got a lot of traveling in my schedule, and I just couldn't do this one. But a lot of folks I know were at that show and said it was a fantastic show too. Some of the really cool things you can see there, some information sent to me by Church Brothers, is cleaned and cored yellow and red bell peppers. And now that's kind of cool for, now remember, this is a food service item. So you get these in your kitchen, they're ready to chop up, stuff, ready to roll, green ones, red ones, no, green and red, not yellow and red. And I thought that was a really good item for folks, you know, with labor problems in the kitchen. Tuscan baby romaine and little gem lettuces and collalini. I haven't really talked about collalini very much, also known as sweet baby cauliflower. Now, you've had broccolini in the stores or sweet baby broccoli, patented names here and there. I'm not going to get into it right now, but the same thing. It's the same principle. It's a long stem cauliflower with white flowers on the top, long greenish white stems, very nutritious and delicious. So it's the cauliflower version of broccolini or baby sweet broccoli. And now I'm waiting for the development of an orange one and a purple one as well. Okay, so the last week of July, and I always scream this time of the year that it's the best time of the year. And I know I say it all the time. Can I say? I told you about Floyd Zager last week and the Pluots, the Flavor King and the Flavor Queen and all the Pluots that he created. And I also told you about the Fay Alberta peach, the Suncrest peach. Now this week we have the Angelus peach. And the Angelus peach, it's a large, beautiful peach. It's golden color like the Fay Alberta. Some folks will say it's an improved Fay Alberta, but it's the Angelus. Very heavy for its size. They are large peaches. It has more of a red blush to it than the Fay Alberta does. And one thing about the Albertas is I bought a whole bunch of Albertas and the bag fell over in the truck and they're all bruised up. I'll eat them anyway because I love that peach. But then the Angelus here is also of that nature. It's an old line variety and it's very heavy for its size. If you can find this in produce stores and specialty grocery stores, of course, farmers markets, get the Angelus peach. Now, I kind of say this with a little bit of urgency this time of the year because people think, oh yeah, I heard about that peach and it's, you know, 3-4 weeks later. Well, then it's gone. You know, peaches and nectarines, they have their seasons, their, you know, 2 to 3 week seasons, and then that's it for the varieties. Yes, you will constantly see yellow peach, yellow peach, yellow peach on the stand, but it may not occur to you that every 2 or 3 weeks, that variety is a different variety, especially in the grocery stores. In fact, in the grocery stores, they'll just say yellow peach, and they'll put whatever variety that comes in on the stand as yellow peach. Same with white peach and nectarines and the whole bit. Smaller produce markets, and I was in Diablo Foods last week. I haven't been in there in years. Such a gorgeous store here in the Bay Area. And my old store, which is now called Dan's Farmers Market, and Monterey Market, Berkeley Bowl, those kind of stores will tell you the variety of the fruit on the signs. So instead of just saying yellow peach, and it's a different variety every couple of weeks, they will tell you Failberta, Suncrest, Elegant Lady, Z Lady, whatever variety it is, O. Henry coming up. We'll talk about those when they get here. It's interesting that the big stores no longer put the varieties on the signs. When I worked for Fry's Food Stores back in the 80s as a produce manager, they were here in California. Now they're just in Arizona. We would put the varieties on the signs. And, all right, does the average consumer care or no? I don't know. At this point, I don't know. I know when I had my store, and they did care. They came back, and a lot of times they'd be disappointed because it would be a different variety up there now. Oh my gosh, what happened to those Albertas? Well, they're done. So when I say this, I'm telling you about these peach and nectarine varieties, yes, with a sense of urgency, because this is the time right now where you're going to get the very best of the best. Then they're done. So get out there and get them. Don't wait. Okay, another thing I picked up today was out of the Northwest, I got some fantastic Bing cherries. And what's really cool is our California season starts late in the spring and goes into the summer. Now with apricots, all the best varieties are pretty much done here in California, but you got Robatas out of the Northwest, and then we've got Royal Apricots. This kind of extends the really good apricot season when we pull them in out of the Northwest. Okay, and I picked up a couple more Pluot varieties. I picked up a Gold Rush variety, and I also picked up Flavor Gator Pluots. And there's so many of those flavor-first varieties available, and there's Honey Punch, and of course Dapple Dandy, and so many varieties. I also picked up some White Flesh peaches. Now, for many years, this is the trippiest thing right here. When I was a kid working in the produce market, there was one white peach that came to the store every July, like mid-July, and it lasted a few weeks, and it was called the Babcock peach. There was a white Babcock and then a red Babcock, and both of them are white-fleshed peaches, and that was it, man. Those were your white-fleshed pieces of fruit. They're still around with fruit enthusiasts, and they are absolutely delicious. You get them at farmers markets. I've never seen them at a store since I was a kid. Okay, cling peaches as well. A lot of clings out there. Yeah, you got to cut them away from the stone, but they make the best pies. Why? Because they're not as juicy as the out-of-hand eating varieties. The flavor is just as good as the out-of-hand eating varieties. They're just not as juicy. The flesh is more dense. Makes you a better pie because then you don't have all this watery juice at the bottom of your pie. So I mentioned that there was just one white flesh piece of fruit, and then my memory started going and it turned to three in midsummer when I was a kid. Those were peaches. That was here in California. That's not to say that white flesh fruit didn't exist elsewhere in the world. It did. And it had a more wild flavor to it. According to one of my old books, I don't know if it was the Handbook of Peach and Nectarine Varieties, if it was Peach Botany or one of those books. Yes, I have an extensive library of produce books. Some of them go back to the 1800s, and some of them I think are worth a lot of money, but I'm keeping them. So what am I getting at here? I don't know. I'm just rambling about fruit. And I wanted to get into more about Floyd Zager and his ventures in the white nectarine development. And for the sake of time, we're just going to get into it on another day. It is very interesting where they all came from, but we'll get into that. Hey, folks, you heard of the Tube Steak Boogie by ZZ Top? When we come back, we're going to do the beefsteak boogie, because it is tomato season, baby. But first, let's hear from our sponsors, and we'll come right back.
Welcome to Equifruit, an importer and marketer of fresh bananas. Equifruit is committed to 100% fair trade, which means no crummy wages, super safe working conditions, and nothing but love for the ladies. Driving innovation through impossible-to-ignore merchandising, Equifruit is the only banana you should buy.
Everyone, we have an APB out on a buck naked onion. This onion is produced by Owyhee Produce, so we have to be on the lookout. Whether you're a retailer, food service distributor, or a wholesaler, this onion is whole, it's hearted, and it's a buck naked, everyone. To all you civilians out there, please, let's catch this buck naked onion.
All right, folks, welcome back. All right, it's time for the beefsteak boogie. Yes, that's right. Heirloom tomatoes. They're all over the stands. They're colorful. They're beautiful. And I remember when heirloom mania hit us like crazy about 20 years ago, maybe even further back than that. People are just growing all kinds of varieties because what happened was the Iron Curtain fell in the 80s and a lot of tomato seeds were brought here to the U.S. In fact, here's a quick little story about some of the varieties that were coming in the beginning. I used to attend the Kendall Jackson Tomato Festival, the Kendall Jackson Winery in Santa Rosa, California. I used to do live broadcasts from there every year. And then after the show, we'd cruise the festival booths and taste several dishes prepared with tomatoes. So a few varieties that I haven't seen, but you know, you can get them for backyards, but I haven't seen them in the stores, is the Amish salad tomato, the Aunt Lucy's Italian paste tomato, the Big Beef, which I actually carried in my store quite a bit. It was a very popular tomato at Dan's. The Fuzzy Bomb, the Earl of Edgecombe, the Cosmonaut Volkoff Red, and the Hillbilly, just to name a few. And I mean just a few. There, I tell you, we walked that festival in every single year. Tasted over 100 different tomatoes in various forms and dishes. We were so sated after that, it felt like Thanksgiving. But each one of these tomatoes has a story behind its name. Like, there was one called the Mortgage Lifter. Okay, that was named because there was a radiator shop owner back in the 40s who sold so many tomato plants on the side that he was able to pay off his mortgage with that. So this heirloom's called the Mortgage Lifter. Another variety was called the Money Maker, which traces back 300 years in England. It's the first tomato grown for market sale. See, a lot of money there in tomatoes. Mariana's Peace. Now this one is a touching one. It's named after a 17-year-old Czechoslovakian girl who escaped Russian roundup of school children. She was shot in the leg as she jumped from this moving truck that she was on, but with the help of some friends, she managed to escape into Bavaria. She eventually ended up in the state of Washington, bringing with her tomato seeds that her father gave her before he died. Several heirloom varieties came to us from behind the Iron Curtain and were handed down from generation to generation. That's because here in the U.S., over 80% of the tomato varieties that existed before World War II are now extinct. So we were lucky to get these coming in after the breakup of the Soviet Union. After World War II, we went crazy here in this country with production. Highways improved and freeways and interstates. And along with that, it refrigerated trucks. So it helped farming tremendously, sending crops anywhere in the country. But it led to the development of tomatoes that could withstand machine picking and green harvesting for longevity during transport. The green gas tomatoes that we would get for years. And they still do them that way, a lot of them. The problem with that, although they were tough and they could handle the long haul, they lacked one key ingredient, folks. What was that? That's right, you got it. Flavor. And this is how the grocery stores ended up with tomatoes for so many years that just tasted like sawdust. But consumers finally became fed up with tasteless tomatoes. And for several years now, many varieties have been developed claiming to be the one. You have all these different varieties that hit the stores claiming we're the best one. We're the, even the tomatoes on the cluster with the that are, you know, five or six of them on a little vine. When those first hit, it was the smell of the stem on your fingers that sold those tomatoes because the flavor was very similar to just your standard field tomato. but it's the heart of the summertime. And this is when the best flavored tomatoes abound. That's all there is to it. There is nothing like summer. We get heirloom tomato varieties out of warmer climates during the winter, but they still have to pick them in a very unripe state to get them here in decent shape, so they do lose a lot of that flavor. All right, we're in the heart of the tomato season, August, September, and right up to the first frost, when the daylight hours start getting shorter and it starts getting cooler at night, then the tomatoes start to get funky in flavor. But right now, next 2 months, enjoy them like crazy. Can them, freeze them, roast them, make caprese salad, and enjoy them. So here's a few things real quick, because I want to get on to dry farm tomatoes. Rule number one, keep tomatoes out of the refrigerator. I don't care what anybody else says. Oh, no, you can refrigerate them. Yes, you can. You can refrigerate anything. You can refrigerate a pencil sharpener if you want. The thing is the enzyme in tomatoes that gives it flavor really, really becomes reduced from coldness. And so if you got to refrigerate your tomatoes, and I know a lot of restaurants do, they just throw them in the cooler and they don't care. They just want them to be able to go through the slicer. But if you got to refrigerate your tomato, get it to a ripe stage, put it in there for a day, no longer, because really, the moment it starts getting cold, that enzyme starts dying. So that's Dan the Produce Man's tip on tomatoes. People will argue with that, but I'm standing my ground on this one. All right, yellow and white varieties like Marvel Stripes and the yellow German Stripe and a few others, they're going to be lower in acid. So if you have a problem with acid from tomatoes in your stomach, go with the yellower and whiter varieties. The red varieties in, you know, purplish red, we'll just call them red, are going to have a higher acid content and have that real bursting tomato flavor. And then green varieties, and when I say green varieties, I mean they're ripe and they stay green in color when they're ripe, like the Green Zebra. Not my favorite, but a lot of folks use it. That's also milder in acid as well. All right, few quick tips. Peeling. Dropping tomatoes in boiling water for 45 seconds to a minute, that's what a lot of people do to be able to peel them easily, but it kind of mushes them up and dilutes their flavor. And then dropping them in ice water right after further dilutes the flavor. So a good method is get yourself a nice grilling fork and put that tomato on there and hold it above a gas flame for 10 to 15 seconds, turning it. The fire intensifies the flavor, and then you just let them cool. And then you peel the skin, it'll come off just fine. But remember, when you cook fresh tomatoes, cook them quickly, because the longer you cook them, the more the water will evaporate and the sugars start to release. And then, they're perfect for sauce at that point. So I want to talk to you real quick about dry farm tomatoes, because they've hit the stores last week. And it's the dry farmed early girl. They're not that big, because the early girl tomato is kind of small. But these tomatoes are, say the plants grow to a foot or two. I can't remember if it's a foot or 2 feet, whatever it is. And what they do is they dig a hole the length of the plant. They stick the tomato plant in that hole with just the tip of the plant sticking out. So the roots, I think they pour water in there one time and then that's it after that. The roots start to go way, way down, 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 down into the earth looking for moisture, and as they do that, they pull minerals into the plant that isn't in the surface soil and a whole bit. And because they're not watered after that, the flavor is incredibly intense. So look for dry farmed early girl tomatoes if you can find them. It will blow your mind. In fact, you could put some of those up against your tomatoes in your backyard and the dry farms will they'll win. Okay. Red and ripe tomatoes are loaded with lycopene, and we know that they're great for prostate cancer, and they're believed to help for the risk of other cancers in the colon, cervix, gastrointestinal tract, rectal and breast cancers. You know, if you eat a lot of tomatoes, it seems that heat breaks down tomato cell walls, releasing lycopene that would pass through the digestive system. So we know that they're really good and healthy for us. We know that they're full of lycopene, but from what I remember, you have to cook them to get that full lycopene out of them. That's where the benefits are. You know, ketchup and canned tomatoes. It seems that heat breaks down tomato cell walls and it releases lycopene that would normally pass through the digestive system. In fact, there is 4 to 5 times more lycopene in cooked tomatoes than in the equivalent amount of fresh. So that's good. Keeping fat out of your cooked tomatoes, such as butter and animal fat, will also help the body absorb lycopene more fully. Olive oil is a great substitute for fat, and they marry well together. You know, you have those caprese salads right now with a bufala mozzarella and the basil and the sliced tomatoes and the olive oil and I think balsamic. Oh my gosh. That screams summer, baby. Other nutrients in tomatoes are vitamin C, calcium, iron, vitamin A, and that's converted in the body from lycopene and beta carotene. So I don't care what Dr. Gundry out there says. Eat your tomatoes, folks. They're absolutely delicious. They're good for you. They're flavorful right now. Okay, next week, figs. We're going to talk about figs. That's right. And then we have a Bartlett pear grower coming up in a couple of weeks as well. So a lot of good things coming up on Fresh from the Field Fridays. But right now, for the sake of time, we're going to wrap it up. And be sure to tune in to the Produce Industry Podcast every Monday with Patrick Kelly, as well as the Produce Industry Show on YouTube. Download the Produce Industry app. Put it on your phone. Put it on your tablet. It's a fantastic resource. And also be sure to check out my YouTube and Rumble pages called Dan the Produce Man. Because this week, we've got a video up with our one and only Kim Shakal from Equifruit. And that's a lot of fun as well. And all my social media can be found at DanTheProduceMan.com. Thank you to all our sponsors. And until next week, this is Dan the Produce Man reminding you that it's always best when you get it fresh.
You've been listening to Fresh from the Field Fridays with Dan the Produce Man. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Produce Industry Podcast and at Dan the Produce Man. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.